We've just been introduced. I do not know you well, but when the music started, something drew me to your side.
So just to begin, I'm sure many of our listeners will be familiar with The King and I, but for those who aren't, maybe you could give a little bit of background and maybe just say something about each of your characters.
Well, The King and I is a classic Rodgers and Hammerstein show, just as is Oklahoma, South Pacific, last year's Sound of Music. It's got wonderful music, and it always tells a very pertinent story that is true to any time period. Even though this takes place in Civil War era in Siam in the 1860s, my character, Anna, is basically a single mother. Her husband has died. She's a widow. She's British. And she and her son have traveled to Siam at the request of the king so she can be a governess and teach the king's multitude upon multitude of children. And it's a whole new world, and she is very unaccustomed to the culture and the standards at which the king holds everyone else to.
The king, the character I'm doing, King of Siam, is based on the real King Mongkut, who had transformed Siam by giving in to the fact that he was torn between two worlds, the way he was brought up and programmed, and all his ideas about authority, power, women, his ideas were really non-idea of love. And then he starts reading, and reading rattles all these preconceived ideas. So he wants to get educated, and he wants his children to be educated. So he asks for Mrs. Anna to come and teach his children. But the learning curve is very, very steep for everybody, especially for him, because he has to keep an entire country together. He has the Kralahome, who's very much like the chief of staff or prime minister, who's pulling everything in the other direction, keeping it traditional, keeping it old. And in the course of things, there's a very subtle, very beautiful love story that is never played out, never requited.
Right.
But it's very beautiful and very heart-rending.
And so for people who have seen the film or who have seen the musical performed elsewhere, what can they expect from this show that maybe will be new or...
Well, one thing about this production that is going to be incredible is the costumes. We have costumes from, I believe, the Broadway Asia tour. And I saw mine yesterday, and they are the most beautiful costumes I think I've ever seen. I mean, Opera Theater of the Rockies always puts on incredible productions, but this one, it takes it to a whole new level with the set and costumes, full orchestra. I mean, it's going to be just incredible. The voices are incredible. There's not one weak link in the entire cast. Everyone is up to the task and excited and enthusiastic about it.
Yeah, and to just follow up on this, it's, you know, the front range is chock full of incredible talent. It's wonderful for me to be back in my home state in Colorado to work with all these wonderful people. It's a privilege and an honor, really. And, you know, I mean, to answer your question, usually when you put on a show that is so famous and so ingrained in people's memory, you can either go, you know, by trying to replicate what they've seen on the screen or completely depart from it. And we are, of course, doing a traditional show. I mean, we're not doing, you know, a German Regietheater, you know, production or anything. I mean, traditional sets and costumes and everything. But we are not trying to replicate Deborah and Yul.
No.
At all. I mean, we're exploring the characters all anew. We actually try to make a point not to watch the movie so that we don't replicate any mannerisms. Of course, some stuff will come out the same.
One big difference is that Yul Brynner didn't sing, and Ashraf is an amazing singer, so you will actually hear the king's full songs, which you don't know.
The notes that were written, actually, for the king.
Right.
And there are a number of relatively young actors in
this
play.
Quite a few. I think the cast in total is 50. It's a huge cast.
Wow.
And our youngest daughter?
Three
and a half.
She will steal the show. You won't even notice us.
Yeah, oh my gosh, yes.
Getting to know you, getting to know all about you.
The production company is obviously called Opera Theater of the Rockies, but I think The King and I people think of as a musical. I wonder if you could maybe speak to the differences as a performer.
Well, actually, when that brings back your question about what's different about this production, this is done by an opera company. We will not be mic'd. This is all acoustic. We are singing with our full voices on our full breaths, including the children. There are only hanging mics for recording purposes. But most places that do music theater do body mics on everyone so that you can dance and sing and you're not, this is very demanding. This is, and we are singing it operatically. I mean, I change my voice. I don't change it. I sing with my regular voice and it comes out more musical theater than when I'm singing opera, but it's definitely not a music theater belt type voice that you go hear on Broadway. And none of us have those types of voices. It's very full, fully sung.
And this approach does the production justice because the old Rodgers and Hammerstein and Midgley and all those old musicals of the first half of the 20th century were written for legit voices. The whole idea of the Broadway sound came later, and then the music that was written for Broadway singers changed because of that idea. So it's always nice to have a resurrection of one of the old musicals where you can actually bite into the music and do your dialogue in a British theater manner where you project your voice without a microphone.
Right.
And it's a completely different experience for people who have been seeing Broadway lately.
The show has been done and redone and adapted, and it's been very popular for a very long time. And I wonder if you could just speak to what it is about this show that is so enduring, and why is it so enduringly popular?
Well, I think it's not just a love story. It's about friendship. I mean, my Anna's son and the King's son, they clash immediately as well, but they're the same age. And they become good friends and learn to respect each other mutually. I mean, I don't expect to meet a king who has 67 wives or however many
67
children with multiple wives and end up respecting him. That's so, that's not something I would even remotely consider. So I think it gives people an idea of how you can go about embracing other cultures. But I mean, I grew up on this show, but I was discussing this with someone the other day. They don't show it on TV anymore. I grew up watching this, The Sound of Music, Music Man. They
South
were on.
Pacific. Yeah, all of them were on.
They were always on television year after year after year. And I don't think kids have seen the show before. Even though it's so popular, it's popular with an older generation.
So it's new to one or two generations. But also what makes it endure is its universality. All the issues that are being dealt with in the show are just as pertinent today as they were, say, 60, 70 years ago, or 100 or 200, 300 years ago. It's just like, people never learn. You get Hitler and you think that everything is going to be fine, and then you get Saddam, and then you think everything is going to be fine, and then you get, other presidents. So, we don't learn, and we have to keep reminding ourselves of the things that matter.
Great. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk
thank
to
you.
Me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Getting to know you, getting to know all about you, getting to like you, getting to hold you like me, getting to know.